I don't want to be up here. We don't want this fight to be necessary. But legislation such as this, an injustice such as this, demands that we take action. That is what today is about. This is our response. It's so much more than a restroom. It's about dignity. It's about respect. It's about valuing us as a broader part of the North Carolina community. North Carolina is better than this.
The initial investigation, we believe that this is an act of a single person who has frequented the Capitol grounds before, and there is no reason to believe that this is anything more than a criminal act.
This is the Power Talk Afternoon Show with Randy Thomason on Power Talk 1360 and 1280.
Thanks for swimming along with us here on Power Talk here in the Central Valley, blanketing Modesto and Stockton. My name is Randy Thomason, president of SaveCalifornia.com. I'm running things for family values in a lot of sectors, but only do that with the people who support us. And you can do that or sign up for email at SaveCalifornia.com. You know, you can just listen to the news. And if you apply the standard of truth that's correct, and I strongly believe that the only two correct standards of truth are God's word and evidence. And if you want to throw in sort of an umbrella of logic, but logic will always back up and support God's scriptures and evidence. If you believe in God's word, if you fear God, good. If you don't fear God, you don't believe in God, you don't believe God's word, but you believe in evidence, the rules of evidence, well, that's second best. If you believe in both God's word and the rules of evidence, then that's, I think, best of all. And logic, again, says you cannot have logical contradictions. You cannot have a rock that's too big for God to move, for example. Or you can't have, you can imagine a bunch of things that are impossible. Like if I say, my name is Randy Thomason and my name is not Randy Thomason, or hi, I'm a man, or hi, I'm a woman, or hi, I'm alive, or hi, I'm dead. I mean, these are logical contradictions. You can't have one, you can't have both at the same time. So those are the rules that I use, and I know that it's not subjective because God's word is true. Let's go to the phones at 551-3483. That's 209-551-3483. Some of you have been interested in disclosing what your standard of truth is. I'm not asking you to show me, you know, the label on your underwear. I am asking you to show me that you know why you believe what you believe. So important for the next generation to hear you teach them that. Let's go to Joseph in Manteca. You're live on the air.
Hey, Randy. You know, you are a breath of fresh air. I'm a recent transplant from the South Bay, from actually around San Jose, and I transplanted around the San Joaquin Valley. You know, basically, I'm pretty sure what you and your audience realized, I can't afford to live there anymore.
Well, and there's some truth about that, too, right? Why have housing prices gone up so much? Well, there's a law called supply and demand. So,
and you know what? You know, Randy, and that goes exactly into what you were talking about. Basically, you have a war between standards and values. Standards are an ethical foundation. Values are basically very an ambiguous mental conditioning.
Explain.
The mental conditioning is essentially just the power of political persuasion, where people just want to keep their elite status without having to get down to the dirty underclass, of which is what they consider the working class people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we say, look, liberal politician or conservative politician, we say, let's look at the evidence, and we're not going to spin it. We're going to say, here's the hard evidence. And those conservative politicians who believe in the word of God, we say, here's what God's word says about it. Then they're going to get it right. But you're right that many refuse to look at the evidence. For example, the minimum wage. Jerry Brown and the Democrats who run the state capitol, they have said, hey, we are going to go for a $15 an hour minimum wage in California. And Jerry Brown says this is a matter of economic justice. But on the other hand, members of the...
Okay, and then you know what? I will interject into that.
Yeah.
What is the consequential evidence of it? Will that bring more jobs or will that lose jobs?
Well, and the facts are, because there is a study, there are studies after studies of this, jobs get cut. And you look at it logically as well. If you own a small business and you can hire three people, and these are either high schoolers or they're recently...
They're entry-level jobs, and they're learning what they need to do to market themselves in the future for a better job, correct?
Right. And so what's better for a person, to have $15 an hour or to have a job that's less? Because the consequences are clear. You have, let me just give you this quote here. If I read this, Chris Tilley, no, let's read this one here. I'm reading the Los Angeles Times story, and they put,
I'm following you, Randy.
Yeah, the truth speakers. I just want to say this for the benefit of others listening here. All right. Tom Scott, executive director of the National Federation of Independent Business California, said there's been a frustrating lack of information about the deal, which broke over the Easter holiday weekend. He says it'd be difficult for small businesses to absorb the cost of a large wage increase. Someone else speaking now. Everyone wants higher wages for folks, but you can only raise prices so much. You're going to be forced to cut hours, cut employees, change your business model, and frankly, automate. In other words, it's self-defeating. And that's the practical evidence, but I look at it biblically. I look at God's word, and in Matthew 20, Jesus gives the parable of the workers. And it's a vineyard owner hiring men at the beginning of the day, saying, I'm going to pay you this amount, hires people later in the day, says, I'm going to pay you this same amount, and then at the end of the day's work, starts paying those who had been hired later in the day, and they get what was the unit of measurement, a denarius, and then the ones who have been working since 8 a.m., they see that and they say, hey, we expect more now. And Jesus is teaching that the owner is right, and the owner represents God, saying, hey, look, didn't you agree to work at this wage? So that's independent from the owner to the worker. And so God is into agreement. And then the scripture says, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? That,
you know, Randy, and I'm going to give you a pseudonym right now. I am Randy, because I agree with a lot of, you're coming from a logical perspective. I'll give myself a pseudonym. My name from when I call you in the future is going to be Bar Fighter, okay? So I want to tell you, and it's getting to one of my favorite, I can't quote the verse, but it's where the property owner gives the three sons a certain amount of money. Two of the sons, when the father comes back, two of the sons make something with the money. One of the sons buries it. That's the welfare state. They bury it into a political vote.
Yeah, yeah. That's the parable of the talents, and those were the workers there. But the point is well made. So anyhow, well, this is not my show. They have a rotating guest host right now.
No, you know what? You are a breath of fresh air. I mean, like I told you, I'm just a recent transplant. I couldn't afford to live in the Bay Area. I transferred into the San Joaquin Valley just to continue my business. So, but let me tell you something. What challenged me and what I want you to do with this program is to continue to challenge people's intellectual curiosity and what is a standard and what are values. Standards are an ethical foundation. Values are an ambiguous political persuasion.
Yeah. And see, this is why the Central Valley has gone liberal in certain portions. You compare the Southern Central Valley more conservative, with the Northern Central Valley, Modesto and Stockton, has slid into more liberal. You just look at the representation. I mean, Stockton has two homosexual practitioners of the Democrat stripes representing them at the state capitol. Susan.
Yeah, and you know what that means. They're mentally conditioned. They're conditioned to go with whatever's the easy road to take. But, it's always easy road.
Right.
When you believe in something that's ethical rather than something that's ambiguous, you're always going to be challenged, and that's why I'm digging your program.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not here tomorrow because I'm just a guest host. I drove a long way to get here.
You know who I am now. I'm the bar fighter. You're the Ayn Rand.
But bar fighter Joseph, I want to invite you so we can stay in touch. Sign up for email at our website, savecalifornia.com.
Okay? And, you know, I used to listen to KSFO a lot, and now that I'm over in San Joaquin Valley, I listen to Power Talk, and you're going to hear a lot from me in the future. And I love you, and keep on doing what you do, bro.
Okay, thank you very much for calling in. And you can call in, too, at 551-3483. What's your standard of truth? I mean, look at the issues. Every single issue, every single problem, every single solution is based upon a worldview, and the standard of truth is going to be right or wrong. Why is the Northern Central Valley voting more liberal than the Southern Central Valley? And yes, I'm talking to you, Stockton and Modesto. You've got more liberals representing you and the state and federal government than you used to, and more liberals than the Southern Central Valley, okay? What's the evidence? What's the difference between the Stockton-Modesto area and the Fresno South, the Bakersfield area? What's the difference? All right. Some of you might say, well, they're more agriculture there. They're more rural down there. Well, you're right. There's more spread out farmland rural. Okay. What does farming teach? Well, it teaches that the family is real important. It teaches nature, especially when you're dealing with God's nature of plants or meat, cows and pigs and other things, okay? Also, personal responsibility, hard work. So you've still got these values down there. But when something becomes more industrialized, government always has a tendency to say, okay, I want to become bigger in your life. And then the government says, I'm giving to you, when they're taking from you. And we have higher welfare dependency, more government dependency now in the Modesto Stockton area than there used to be, let's say a generation or more ago, because the culture has changed. And we can say, okay, look, the grandparents or the great grandparents' age, they were doing what's right because they knew what was right according to tradition, and even before that, they knew where the traditions came from. They came from what's right in God's sight. Remember, this used to be a Christian values nation, right? Okay, we have to see where things flowed. There's a memory of these moral values, a memory that came from traditions, and those traditions came from God's word, okay? You know, so we look at these things, we look at history, and we see that because big government and because higher population taught more dependence upon government, that we have worse government because people got foolish because they did not remember the why of the what. I mean, I want to ask this. I want to ask this, as you still can call at 209-551-38. Excuse me, let me get the number right. This is the right number. 551-3483. You can call in and talk about this. But whether we're dealing with high housing costs, water supply, minimum wage, crime, taxes, regulations, sexual anarchy, religious freedom, free speech, pornography and obscenity, educating children or not in the government schools, it all has to stem from what is true and what is false. And those who are in charge, the Democrats in California, are promoting falsehood as truth. And you, if you know the truth from God's word and the evidence and logic, you need to stand up for the truth and you need to fight back. Life is a battle. Choose sides. I'm Randy Thomason. You're listening to the Power Talk Afternoon Show on 1360 and 1280 AM. We'll continue.
The Power Talk Afternoon Show. Once again, Randy Thomason on Power Talk 1360 and 1280.
I'm enjoying being here today. I hope you're enjoying listening here to 1360 and 1280, the Power Talk Afternoon Show. My name is Randy Thomason. I'm a statewide pro-family leader right here in California. You're listening live and local if you're within the sound of my voice in Modesto and Stockton and surrounding areas. And if you're listening live on the internet as well, which you can do at powertalk.com. 1360.com or powertalk1280.com, and you can tell your friends to listen that way too. You don't have to live in the Central Valley. Isn't the internet great? It's the new library. You don't have to actually vote for higher taxes for the local library where the homeschoolers can merge with the child molesters. What did I just say? Yes, there's documented evidence that convicted sex offenders go to public libraries for free internet so they can look at porn. And there are little kids at libraries, and I am on an email list called safelibraries.com, and they document cases where children are being molested in bathrooms of those libraries. Horrors! You didn't know that was going on? Yes, it is going on. So guard your children, guard your grandchildren. Be aware of the facts. See, you know, again, standard of truth. If I don't have God's standard, his words to guard my family or protect life or the evidence that there are evil people in this world, then I don't guard myself. I don't even lock my doors properly, you know, or I don't avoid certain areas to walk. If I'm president of the United States and I don't believe that people are bad or good, or that evil is an absolute thing, then I'm not going to hunt down and destroy ISIS, right? I mean, Obama, what does he want to do? Rehabilitate these terrorists? It's sort of like the opposition to the death penalty, I think. There are people who deserve to die according to God's word. God's word in the Old Testament and New Testament talks about that the death penalty is justified for murderers. Yet we can't go with our feelings and say, oh, no, I could never do that. Well, listen, if you have the death penalty, then you're teaching young people, especially young men who are watching, that there is the ultimate punishment for their crime. We're actually talking a pro-life ethic when we have the death penalty. It's a pro-life ethic. But look at what our president has. I can't believe I'm calling him the president. But Barack Hussein Obama is refusing to go after ISIS because he apparently does not believe that there's that human beings sin, unless they're conservative Christians, right? That human beings are bad, that evil should be stamped out. Or Barack Obama is not fearing God, he's fearing man. He wants to fear these criminals instead of go take them on. Well, I'll tell you, love and courage go together. And, you know, love can get bruised when you do go in love. And again, I define love the way God defines it. Love is giving, and it's giving something God approves of, giving godliness or even pleasing God. And so, I mean, look, if you spanked your children or you did years ago when you had children, that's love. You're training them when appropriate, when it's done appropriately, a little bit of sting to the bottom to train them not to rebel, okay? That is love. The death penalty is love for those young people who are getting the message that crime does not pay or life is sacred. It's loving to tell the truth in a redemptive way, which I'm trying to do right here on the radio today, live and local. And you can call in with your standard of truth at 551-3483 right now, 551-3483. But no matter what issue it is, we've got to know what's right and what's wrong, not based on feelings, not based on traditions, but based upon God's written word in the Bible, either direct or indirect principle from the Bible or a direct command. And if you don't believe in the Bible, then go with the evidence and demand evidence before, you know, you foolishly or arrogantly give an opinion that is not based on the evidence. That's where mistakes are made. That's where false assumptions are made. That's when ruin comes through a bunch of false assumptions, such as we mentioned Jerry Brown, the governor of California, and the Democrats that run the show at the state capitol because of some foolish voters. They've said, hey, we want to force businesses to pay a lot more money to employees. We're going to raise the minimum wage. Well, should there be a minimum wage? Should government actually be able to tell businesses what to do? Who is owning the business at that point? I mean, socialism and Bernie Sanders, they like the minimum wage because that's government owning or government controlling the business. And so that violates God's principle. It also violates the evidence that people are helped in a thriving economy where the free market is able to be free, where merit is rewarded, where hard work is rewarded, where wisdom is rewarded, and where merit in employees is rewarded. You don't just get a salary or a wage because you exist, but because you have excelled and you've actually done better than others. And here we are in a terrible situation where it's hard to fire bad employees. And if you're a government employee, it's really hard to fire you. If you work for the post office, it's really almost non-existent that you can be fired. I mean, the post office in the United States is actually paying people not to work because the union is controlling things. The union has stolen away the ownership from we the people, and we are constantly paying more. So this applies to everything. What is the standard of truth? I say God's word, the evidence that we must measure, follow the evidence where it leads, and then logic, which superintends. You cannot believe in two opposite things. So Alex has been holding, so let's go to Alex real quick here. Alex, we've got less than a minute. What's on your mind?
Okay, I think what you were talking about is that why we have strayed. I think it's because our forefathers firmly held to the rod, you know, regardless of their transgressions, but they held to the rod. And now the generations that are coming into age, they have completely let go of the rod, and there are so many external influences that don't even allow them to even want to re-grasp the rod.
What's the rod?
Our forefathers held on to the rod. We succeeded.
What's the rod? You know, R-O-D. What's the rod?
The rod is where you adhere to the Father in Heaven's values and principles so that you can enter the kingdom of heaven.
Okay. So in other words, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the word of God printed in Scripture as the authority for life and practice. That's what you're calling the rod. Yeah, it's a stable thing. It's a rock. And Jesus said it himself. You can build your house upon solid rock and it'll withstand winds. And those are cultural feelings and traditions and pressures. The pressures I've talked about at the Capitol, the pimps and the prostitutes. You know, what? How much money would you take to sell out God, to sell out family, to do wrong? You know, you wouldn't do that if you build your house on the solid rock, or you do the easy. And that's where you say, I'll do what I feel like, what gives me pleasure. You're almost like an animal that goes just from pleasure to pleasure. What's my next meal? And we're not called to merely exist. We're called to have purpose in life, and God defines that purpose. We're out of time. We're out of time right now, Alex, but thank you so much for calling us from your island, where I don't think you believe that man is an island. You're actually here on the radio helping people from Bethel Island. We'll continue here on Power Talk, 1360 and 1280 AM, where you can call us at 551-3483. 551-3483. My name is Randy Thomason, president of Save California. www.thepowertalk.com. Join us. Join our statewide campaign to stand up for what's right in God's sight and help families from the Oregon border down to the U.S.-Mexico border. We need more people to stand up and shine their light. You be one of them. We'll continue.
The Power Talk Afternoon Show. Here again is Randy Thomason on Power Talk 1360 and 1280.
Absolutely true. I am here to empower you, and that's why this truly is Power Talk today, because I don't want you to just be a hearer of what's true and nod your head. I want you to be a doer, and you can make a difference when you understand the truth. When we're empowered with the truth, we get more confident. We don't say, hey, I'm ignorant. We say, I'm educated. And it's not a college education, which teaches lies most of the time, but it's the truth. And I want to say this before we go back to the phone calls at 209-551-3483. If we simply were honest about the evidence for the origin of the universe, we would have a better world, a much better government. Because scientists who look at the origin of the universe agree on some scientific facts. One, the second law of thermodynamics. Okay? That means everything is breaking down. That there's going to be an end. All right? Second, the universe is expanding. That means that there was a point of beginning. One point. Radiation afterglow, that the universe has left evidence of its expansion, and radio waves are part of that, or radiation rather, waves. Great galaxy seeds, scientific evidence of how galaxies began, and Einstein's theory of general relativity. Einstein, who used to not believe in God, actually had to look at some evidence here in California, Mount Wilson Observatory in 1931. Albert Einstein discovered mathematically in his calculation that, you know, looking at space, matter, and time, he thought that it came from nothing. And he looked in the telescope and he became convinced of God's existence. You see, an honest scientist, an honest one, will say there was a big bang to start it all. And then we say, okay, who banged it? You know, who started this thing? Oh, well, it just started from nothing? Wow, that takes a lot of faith to be an atheist. Tell me anything else physically where something can come from absolute zero, nothing. I mean, they're speechless. There's a great documentary film by the humorist author Ben Stein, and it was called Expelled. And he actually, he's an Orthodox Jew who believes in God. And he went and interviewed some famous atheists, and he said, how did it all begin? And these famous atheists are actually on camera saying, oh, maybe we were seeded by crystals, microbes on crystals. Oh, so they believe in a designer, an origin, a creator. It was these microbes. Well, what created those microbes? I mean, another famous Darwinist evolutionist said, maybe aliens came and seeded us. Oh, so we had a creator. They believe in intelligent design. Wow, they believe it. So you have to look at the evidence. And, of course, God's word backs this all up. I believe that God's word and science are completely adjoining. I mean, even when some in the Middle Ages thought that it was godly to say that the world was flat, and it was heretical to say that the world was a globe, God's word never says the word is flat. It talks about a sphere in God's word. So, I mean, we have to get back to the standard of truth of God's word and the rules of evidence and logic. Listen to what George Washington, the father of our nation, said. He said, quote, this is George Washington, who's on the dollar bill, right? It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. So here it is, George Washington saying, you can't be a good politician unless you honor God's word and the Bible. And he wasn't talking about lip service. Washington continues saying, it is impossible to account for the creation of the universe without the agency of a supreme being. It is impossible to govern the universe without the aid of a supreme being. It is impossible to reason without arriving at a supreme being. Religion is as necessary to reason as reason is to religion. The one cannot exist without the other. A reasoning being would lose his reason in attempting to account for the great phenomena of nature had he not a supreme being to refer to. Let me explain. Without God, there's no morality. Without God, there's no morality. You can't call anything moral or immoral. You can't actually say that's right or wrong because you're saying there's a moral standard that comes from above somewhere. You understand? You can't have morality without belief in God as the authority and as the judge. Let's go to the phones. People have been patiently waiting, and you can call us at 209-551-3483 and talk to me, Randy Thomason of SaveCalifornia.com. Let's talk to Richard in Modesto. Hi, Richard. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm an example of the liberalization process. When I graduated from high school and my parents were Republicans, I considered myself a Republican. When I went to a four-year college and graduated, I was brainwashed and came out and had registered as a Democrat. And when I started working, I switched again back to Republican because I didn't like it. But the schools definitely have an impact. There's a lot of, like, Stanislaus State and MJC and so on that do tend to brainwash even Republican children. It happened to me. And I switched back once I realized that my whole paycheck was being eaten up by taxes and the government and so on like that. So that's part of the problem. I'm an example of it. But I switched back. It took me a while.
Yeah, you have to look at reality. Let me ask you, Richard, do you think the average college or university is doing more good or more bad?
Well, I believe that the faculty, due to the nature of their job, living on government public finances, they want more money, and it naturally draws them and then to the Democratic side. And then, of course, they talk about it constantly, so the kids pick it up. I think they're doing harm in the fact that their situation puts them in a Democratic, it just pushes them to be Democrats, the way they get paid and the way they operate.
In other words, colleges, the average college these days, are doing more bad than good.
Well, it would take years, and some people are not going to recover to switch back to being a Republican. In my own book, they're doing harm because they are.
Yeah,
pushing.
I mean, I'm not afraid
totally
to say
I'm a Republican.
I'm not.
I was a Republican when I started.
Yeah, no one should be afraid to call it like it is, because you can take a Christian kid who doesn't know why he or she believes what he or she believes, and they go in and they're taught by a professor God doesn't exist, and you're an idiot to think that religion should be part of your life. And they teach a socialistic, Darwinistic, not based on the evidence, not based upon the scientific evidence about the universe came from an origin and that there is a design to the universe. I mean, even of the Beatles, George Harrison gave an interview, and he's dead now. He became a Hare Krishna. But he talked about how there's such design, as he said, perfection. Well, he even saw the design. And so an honest person looks at the design. Why would someone say a wristwatch just happened to come into being by chance, or a big jet airplane came into being by chance? You mean it's just there was a junkyard, and a whirlwind came, and out popped this big airplane, and people got into it. No. There's obvious evidence, self-evident, that there's a designer behind every design. And we have to get honest. But really, those who want to say don't believe in God, they don't want to believe in God, I believe, because they want to avoid accountability and they want to avoid exposure of their own sin. And I'll tell you, I love them so much that I want to say, you know, you'll face God one of these days, and you want to face God who says, well done, good and faithful servant. You don't want to meet God and have him say, depart from me, I never knew you. So there are consequences. Hey, listen, we got to go. Thank you for your call. I want to give you a website that has the scientific evidence for God. You don't have to use the Bible. Just use the scientific evidence. And again, universities ought to be teaching this, but they're not honest. They're biased, and they're training up liberal activists, and they're training conservative kids who don't know why they believe what they believe. They're training them to be liberal or self-serving, a lot of them. Yeah, there's a few conservative clubs, but it's hard, because why should you have values that are right before God attacked by a tax-funded college or university? It shouldn't be happening. But we, the people, are being forced to fund it. It's bad. And yeah, we could spend a whole show talking about the University of California, incredibly high wages. But there's a website called thegoddare.com, the thegoddare.com, thegoddare.com. And I give out this card a lot to people, and it shows the evidence of God using science. You want to look for the videos from Frank Turek. Frank Turek. You can also go to his website, which is called crossexamined.org. And we have to bring out the light here. Because again, if you don't believe in God, you don't have morality. Okay? You don't have a standard. You don't have a belief in a higher moral standard. And this is why things are going away. If I'm the devil, I want to make sure that kids don't read. And I'm being very successful in California government schools. 3 out of 4 fourth graders cannot read proficiently. Okay, so the devil's happy. Parents should be unhappy. If I were the devil, I would make sure that I would teach children a lie, that God does not exist. I'm the devil. I know that God exists, and I know that I'll eventually be defeated. But if I teach children that God doesn't exist, well, then children will be going with their feelings, and they'll make lots of mistakes, they'll sin a lot, and they will become a worse generation. And that's what we see. So again, choose sides, because life is a battle. And in the upcoming segment, I'm going to give you ways you can make a difference, things you can actually do. So get ready, whether you want to take out pen and paper, but I'm going to give you some action steps here on this action-oriented Power Talk afternoon show on Power Talk, 1360, 1280 AM. My name is Randy Thomason of SaveCalifornia.com, and we will continue. Tell your friends to listen in right now.
The Power Talk Afternoon Show. Once again, Randy Thomason on Power Talk 1360 and 1280.
You want to love the way God wants you to love. You want to do what's right in His sight. You want to make a difference. You want to help families. Well, go to our website for these action steps. Our website is SaveCalifornia.com. I want to invite you to go to the state capitol in Sacramento. This Thursday, 12 noon, there's going to be a big rally for faith, family, and freedom. It's led by Franklin Graham, who's the head of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Samaritan's Purse. He's the son of the renowned evangelist Billy Graham. I'm going to be there. Franklin Graham is going to be there. The media is going to be there. We need a lot of people to show up. So please, caravan to the west steps of the state capitol this Thursday, March 31st, the Decision America Rally. Learn more at SaveCalifornia.com. Also, do you have children in the government schools? Do you have grandchildren there? Do you know that this April 15th is not merely the deadline to file taxes, but it is the day of homosexual, bisexual, transsexual cross-dressing indoctrination in the schools. It's called the Day of Silence. You want to protect your child from this, and you want to keep them home if you want them to be not indoctrinated, brainwashed. The government schools are not your friend in this. They're silent at best. And so learn about the Day of Silence and the how you can protect your children and grandchildren. Spread the word. Now, right now, I want to give you something from a special video that I found. It's called Did Jesus Rise from the Dead? And when we talk about the why of the what, where's the evidence for your tradition, the evidence for what you believe? Since we just had Easter, Resurrection Day, listen to this video portraying a college student, Christian, talking to an atheist and talking about the evidence of did Jesus really rise from the dead. You got to hear this.
Dude.
Hey, what's up?
What you reading?
The Bible.
You're reading the Bible?
Yeah.
Dude, why are you reading the Bible? For class?
No, I just...
Okay, so you're just reading the Bible. You're just sitting here in a coffee shop in the 21st century using state-of-the-art technology to read ancient myths for no reason whatsoever.
Well...
Tell me something. Are you one of those super religious people who thinks Jesus actually rose from the dead?
Well, I do believe that.
Do you also believe in the Easter Bunny? Santa Claus? Unicorns? Bigfoot? Ever been abducted by aliens? And do you buy into all those other ancient myths about dying and rising gods invented by primitive nomadic tribes back in the Bronze Age?
No.
Okay, so what's the difference between Jesus rising from the dead and all those other fairy tales?
Here's the difference. My belief in the resurrection of Jesus is rational. It's based on historical facts.
Facts? What facts?
Well, first, Jesus died by crucifixion.
Whoa, hold on. We don't even know if Jesus existed. Why should I believe your facts?
Well, because the five facts I'm going to give you are backed by so much historical evidence that most professional critical scholars who study the subject accept them as true. That includes skeptical atheist scholars.
Okay, so Jesus was a guy who actually existed and then got himself killed. So what?
That's the first fact. Second, his disciples were convinced that he rose from the dead and appeared to them. Third, Paul, a sworn enemy of the early Christians, suddenly became a Christian. Fourth, Jesus' skeptical brother James also became a Christian. And fifth, the tomb where they put Jesus' body was empty.
And those are well-established historical facts.
Right, but you can't just leave it there. These facts demand an explanation. Otherwise, you've got a big hole in human history.
Okay, here's an explanation. They all lied. It was a conspiracy, the most monumental prank ever perpetrated. His followers stole his corpse from the tomb and then started telling everybody he was alive.
That's the conspiracy theory. The problem is it doesn't explain the facts. How do a few spineless fishermen, cringing in fear for their lives, subdue a bunch of well-armed, professional Roman guards, roll away a 2-ton stone, steal a body, then hide it from a city swarming with people trying to find it? And why would they do it? The disciples had absolutely nothing to gain by lying about Jesus' resurrection. In fact, they were persecuted, and we have good historical evidence that five of them were martyred because of their claim that Jesus rose from the dead. Apparently, not a single one of them ever recanted. People don't willingly die for something they know isn't true. They were there. They knew whether it was true or not.
All right, another theory. The disciples thought they saw Jesus alive after he died, but it was just wishful thinking. They were stressed and just kind of hallucinated.
The hallucination theory also lacks explanatory power. 500 witnesses saw Jesus at the same time, and the disciples touched him. Psychologists have shown that hallucinations don't work like that, nor does this explain the empty tomb.
Okay, look, maybe there's some other explanation, but the bottom line is dead people stay dead. Rising from the dead would be a supernatural event, a miracle, and science has proven that miracles don't happen.
Oh, really? When did that happen?
I don't know. I just kind of heard it somewhere.
Science has not disproven miracles. In fact, that would be impossible.
Why?
Science deals exclusively with natural phenomena, physical matter and material processes, right?
Yeah.
But a miracle, by definition, is not a natural phenomenon. It's supernatural.
So?
So a supernatural event would lie outside the boundaries of science. It's logically impossible for science to throw out any hypothesis that lies outside its boundaries.
Why have I never heard this stuff before?
I don't know. Maybe because it's scary?
Scary?
Yeah. As long as Jesus rising from the dead is just a fairy tale, like Santa Claus and unicorns, it doesn't threaten my little world. But if it's a fact, if he actually did rise from the dead, that's huge. It's a total game changer. And that's why it's so hard to think about it objectively.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big whoa.
You can view Did Jesus Rise from the Dead at Facebook/